The following is a class given on Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 5 and 6, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on the topic Lord Krishna's creation, colorful and full of variety.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, Text 5. Vidha Charana Gandharver. Vidyadhara Mahorage. Kinarer Akbaro Bhishta. Vidadheja Sakandara. Translation. Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roared with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Cave. In the higher planetary system, there are not only different types of human beings, but also animals like lions and elephants. They are trees, and the land is made of emeralds. Such is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in this regard, Keshava Tuya Jagata Vichitra. My dear Keshava, your creation is colorful and full of varieties. Geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists speculate about other planetary systems. But being unable to estimate the varieties on other planets, they falsely imagine that all planets but this are vacant, uninhabited, and full of dust. Although they cannot even estimate the various existing throughout the universe, they are very proud of that knowledge, and they are accepted as learned by a person of a similar caliber. I described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shwarvedvarahosa kare santuta purusha pashu. The materialistic leaders are praised by dogs, hogs, camels and asses, and they themselves are also big animals. One should not be satisfied with the knowledge imparted by a big animal. Rather, one must take knowledge from a perfect person like Shukadev Goswami. Mahajana yeno gata sa pantha. Our duty is to follow the instructions of the Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans and Shukadev Goswami is one of them. Vaiyasaki is Shukadev Goswami. Whatever he says we consider to be factual. That is perfect knowledge. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Avitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamlan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Laguna Sanvitam Tham Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Ta Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Siddha Charana Gandhar Ved Vidya Dara Mahorage Kinare Aparobhishta Krida Ved Justa Kandara. So, we are about to discuss the very interesting story of Gajendra. And prior to presenting the story, Shukadeva Goswami is giving us a background to where Gajendra was living, leading to where he went to enjoy with his female companion. Gajendra was a king of elephants, but not an ordinary king. In his previous life, he was a very great devotee and king called King Indradumna. And King Indradumna, unlike the present day rulers, who never want to withdraw from their position, after having ruled over the kingdom, he was the king of southern India. He went to the mountains to retire, to practice deep meditation. And once when he was in meditation, a great sage had come over there. But the king was so absorbed, actually, in his meditation, that when Agastya Muni came with his disciples, the king did not want to be disturbed, but he was just in meditation. The Agastya Muni, the great sage, when he saw that the king did not receive him properly, he felt insulted and he cursed him. He said, "You are so proud of your position, I curse you that you'll become an elephant in your next life." Of course, the curse of a sage is a blessing. Just like the sons of Kuvera were cursed by Narada Muni to become trees. But eventually they became trees that were liberated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the curse of a great sage should never be misunderstood, but it's for our own betterment. So Agastya Muni said, "You are so disrespectful, I curse you to become an elephant in your next life." Then there was another Gandharva. He was also cursed to become a crocodile. He was a king called King Huhu. And once he had gone to play with his female associates, and the king, by mistake, pulled the leg of a sage called Devala Rishi. So he pulled the leg of the sage Devala Rishi, and Devala Rishi said, "How dare you do this? Pull my leg." And the king, when he realized that he had pulled the leg of this great sage, he apologized. He said, "Please forgive me. I did not know that I touched the feet of such a great sage. Please pardon me." So Devala Rishi said, "Okay, I pardon you. In your next life you'll become a crocodile. But you will be liberated by the Supreme Lord." So that was also a blessing. Normally King Indradumna would have to take so many more births before becoming self-realized. And similarly, the crocodiles, Gandharvas are in an enjoying mood. The Gandharvas have to take many, many births before they are fortunate enough to go back to Godhead. But by this curse, he was touched by the Supreme Lord's body and he was liberated. Now, Gajendra, he became the king of the forest. And Gajendra was living in the forest of a mountain called Triyukta. Now, there's so many mountains in our early planet. Our experience is that Mount Everest is the tallest. Am I right? Or is there something taller than Mount Everest? I don't know. So Mount Everest is about 28,000 feet. Yeah, it's about 28,000, 29,000 feet. That's what we read in school. So Mount Everest is the tallest. But in the upper planets, there's a mountain called Triyukta. That is 10,000 yojanas, or 80,000 miles high. So you can imagine, it would be pretty 80,000 miles high was this Triyukta mountain. And in this, around this Triyukta mountain, there were so many oceans which have been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, you have oceans full of milk. In our material world, we have experience of ocean just made of salty water, isn't it? And in some areas of the world we have what we call spring water, am I right? These days, like all over the world, you get the spring water bottles, spring water to drink, and it's so expensive. But most of the oceans are salty water. But in the upper planets, you have oceans, somewhere of liquor, somewhere of ghee, oil, and sweet water. Like in Vrindavan, in our Krishna Balaram temple, you have salty water. But in the Goshala, you have sweet water. And the water, sweet water of the upper planets, is far more sweeter than even the sweet water experience that we have of this early planet. And Thakur Bhakti Vinod, I mean this, the Bhagavatam is just giving you a small glimpse of the heavenly planet. Just like many of you may not have been to America, but you can get knowledge of America by reading an advertising brochure that describes America. So the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita gave us a glimpse of the heavenly planets. And in the heavenly planets, near that Triyukta mountain, there was a forest. And in that forest, there lived an elephant, and who was known as Gajendra, who was the king of the elephant. Now before we go to that discussion, we just want to discuss a little bit of the higher planetary system, where the different types of human beings, animals, lions, and elephants. And the trees and the land is made of emeralds, gold, silver. Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinoda has sung, Keshava Tuya Jagata Vichitra. My dear Keshava, your creation is colorful and full of variety. Now in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that our modern day scientists, they don't even have enough information about this earthly planet. And they have falsely concluded that on some planets is only dust. But actually, if we want information about this earthly planet and the other planetary systems, we have to turn to the Srimad Bhagavatam for guidance. If we turn to the Srimad Bhagavatam for guidance, then we'll get very precise information about the nature of life on other planets, about the distance between other planets. Someone, the modern day population, may think that this is mythology, or this is imagination, but this is not mythology. This is realistic information, but it appears mythology to us because we are so accustomed to only believing what the so-called scientists have to offer. Now, Prabhupada in the purport makes this point that we, the society today, accepts as learned people who are also involved in sense enjoyment, but they claim to be very, very learned. And Prabhupada quotes this very famous verse from the third chapter of the second canto, Shwa ved vara hosra kade, samsutha purusha pashu, nayat karna pato peto, jatu nama gadag rajaha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that those who are like dogs, hawks, camels and asses, they are busy glorifying others who are also like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. The Srimad Bhagavatam is very blunt in its analysis of the gross materialist. Now someone may want to question, why is a gross materialist called dog, hog, camel and asses. Actually, he's compared to a dog and a hog and a camel and an ass. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the gross materialists who are very attracted to the activities of eating, sleeping, defending, mating are very similar in habits to the habits of the four animals that we've just mentioned. Dogs, hogs, camel and asses. For example, the gross materialist is compared to a hog. The hog eats without discrimination, mates without discrimination. So, the gross materialist, who also eats without discrimination and mates without discrimination, is actually comparable to a hog. And it is only natural. The hog eats and lives in the dirty environment, huh? The hog will only live with a stool or checker or something dirt. You don't find the hog living in a clean environment. So similarly, the gross materialists, they also want to live in a filthy environment like the hog. Then, like the dog will serve any master, regardless of the character. The policemen use the dog to catch the thieves, and the thieves use the dog to stay away from the police. So the dog has no capacity to discriminate about the loyalty, about the integrity of the master. So similarly, the gross materialists today, all they want is some remuneration, and they don't care where it comes from, etc. Then it's compared to a camel. The camel bites on thorns, and when the camel bites on thorns, the tongue bleeds. And what does a camel falsely think? That the thorn is very tasty. But the foolish camel doesn't realize that this taste of the thorn is not tasty. That blood that is coming out is coming as a loss. You know, the camel is losing its own blood, but the camel is thinking the thorns are tasty. Similarly, the emphasis of the gross mature life on the principle of sex enjoyment, not recognizing behind the drop of every semen there's so much blood, so many ounces of blood that is lost. That's what the Bhagavatam compares them to the camel. And then to the ass. The ass carries a heavy burden of load. You see donkeys in action. In India, also Central Asia where I come from, you see the donkeys in action. But you don't see the donkeys in action in many other parts of the world. So people can't understand this example. But you can see in India how they make the donkey carry so much load. Similarly, the gross materialist, he wants to carry this heavy load, heavy lot of material desires, ambitions, worries, and they think, unless I have all these responsibilities to discharge, I'm not going to be happy. So the Bhagavatam says that those whose habits are similar to dogs, horses, camels and asses, they're busy glorifying others whose habits are also of a similar nature. So the present-day society will not accept Shukadev Goswami's verdict, will not accept the Srimad Bhagavatam's explanation. Rather, they will only accept what the so-called material scientists have to say, who themselves suffer from inherent defects that are inherent in every living entity. Whereas our process of obtaining knowledge is obtaining knowledge from the perfect authority who never makes any mistakes. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes the 12 Mahajans or sources of spiritual authority. Sayambhu Narada Sambhu Kramara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhismo Balir Vaiya Sakir Vaya. Over here we see that Shukadeva Goswami is describing the story of Gajendra. So the Srimad Bhagavatam establishes that there are 12 spiritual authorities or 12 sources of spiritual knowledge. In the Bhagavatam 6th canto, we read about the wonderful encounter that Ajamil's story in the encounter of the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas. The Ajamil was born in a Brahminical family but had become sinful. So the Yamadutas, the agents of Lord Yamraj, were sent by Lord Yamraj to bring him to hell for punishment. But as he saw the fearful-looking Yamadutas approaching him, he chanted the names of Narayan, which was actually the name of his younger son. But as soon as he chanted the names of Narayan, the agents of Lord Vishnu came to his rescue. And ultimately, the Vishnudutas stopped the Yamadutas from taking Ajahnam to hell. So the Yamadutas were very baffled how they were stopped from doing their duty and how they were stopped from taking Ajahnam to hell for punishment. So they were asked, Yamraj was asked, where do you get this spirit? Who are the sources of spiritual authority? And 12 sources of spiritual authority were identified. Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu. There is Lord Shiva, there is Narada Muni, Swayambhur Manu, there's Kapila, there's Kumar the Kumaras, Phala, Janaka, Bhismo. The 12 sources of spiritual authority. Mahajana Yeno Gatasa Pantha. This is how we obtain spiritual knowledge. By following the path of the Mahajans. Like in India now, Mahajan has become a caste, isn't it? Just like Goswami has become a caste in India. You meet Mr. Mahajan, Mr. Goswami is everywhere. Mr. Swami is everywhere. But Mahajana means a self-realized person. A great personality who's self-realized, who understands the scriptures, who understands the words of God. Mahajana yeno gatasa pantha. So if you want to make spiritual advancement, then you must follow the path of the Mahajans. If you follow the path of the Mahajans, then you can never go wrong. And if you follow a concocted path, then you will go wrong and you will get confused. Just like this Krishna conscious movement. This Krishna conscious movement is based strictly on the path of the Mahajans. Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, he gives us guidelines into how you can cultivate and increase your spiritual life and how your spiritual life can get ruined. So Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishtriya Dharya Tat Tat Karma Pravartana Sangha Tyage Sadhavriti. So Tat Tat Karma Pravartana, that means Mahajana Yeno Gatasa Panta, following the path of the Mahajan. We follow the scriptures, we follow the sadhus, we do not concoct anything. Prabhupada's beauty was, amongst his many beauties, one of his principal beauties was, he did not concoct anything. He did not get discouraged just because he had to wait for some time to have success. Prabhupada struggled in India for nearly 25 years, and again when he went to the West he struggled, but he did not compromise the path shown by the Mahajans just to attract a bigger following. If Prabhupada would just have compromised even a little bit on the four regulative principles or on the importance of chanting 16 rounds, the number of devotees in this Krishna conscious movement would have been 10 times more. But he did not compromise because he wanted to present the truth as it was. So this is the path of spiritual advancement. We followed in the footsteps of the original, the Supreme Personality of God, and carefully deliberated on the words of the Supreme Lord, and they have explained it for our understanding. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he would write the commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I do not know how many of you know, but every time before Prabhupada would dictate the purport of a verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would read the commentary of the predecessor Acharya.
Hare Krishna.